the 17th Psalm. And once you find the 17th Psalm, then turn to Proverbs chapter 15. And kind of stick a hand in both places there, all right? We'll read, we'll begin in Psalm, but Psalms 15, if you will. Psalm 17, excuse me. Psalm 17, Proverbs 15. I'll get you confused and we'll all be messed up here pretty quick. It is unlike Brother Oftedal not to be here. Has anybody heard anything from him? I don't know. He must not be feeling well tonight, because usually he'll be in service, huh? Yeah, I'll check with him later. Ms. McNabb's not feeling well, so pray for her. Do remember to do that. Seems like there's something else that I was going to announce. Man, my mind is blanked out, and I can't remember what it is. So, but it'll come to me in the middle of the night, and I'll call you.
Amen.
No, I won't. I won't do that. All right, you there in Psalm 17. Look, if we go down in one verse 13. The Bible says, "Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. Cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword." And then over in Proverbs 15, I want you to look in verse 22. The Bible says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of be wise about disappointment. Be wise about disappointment. These are the only two places in the Scripture where the word disappoint or disappointed is found. And the first one there in Psalms, the psalmist is asking the Lord to disappoint somebody who has the thought and the idea of doing him harm. And the Lord said, the psalmist saying, "Lord, would you just disappoint him?" In other words, don't let him be able to do that. Don't let him be able to pull that thing off. And then in verse 22, "Without counsel or purposes are disappointed." I want to speak to you on be wise about disappointment. The truth of the matter is you can count on being disappointed at some point in life. Matter of fact, you'll probably find a lot of those points in life, okay? You'll find a lot of places where you're going to be disappointed. You're going to get that. I guess we wouldn't say the question is not will you be disappointed, but when's it going to happen? How often will it happen? And how bad is it going to be? Because disappointment comes. And it's how you react to disappointment that's going to, determine how bad it is. Some people get disappointed, and they become absolutely despondent because they've been disappointed about something. Some just give up. They get disappointed, and they just give up. Some others get bitter when they're disappointed. Then there are those that blame God and pull away from God because they're disappointed in life. And so we will get disappointed, but I just want to say disappointment need not get us. Basically, only got 2 points in the message tonight, but there's a bunch of little sub-points there, all right? So we'll look at them. Don't get excited and say, "Well, we'll be out of here in 10 minutes. Probably not. But we want to talk to you about the sources of disappointment and then, just contending with disappointment and how you confront it. So we'll look at those tonight. The sources of disappointment, they're kind of innumerable. Number one, people will disappoint you. People will disappoint you. But that's nothing new. You can take the example of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. People disappointed Paul. You find him saying about Demas, "Demas hath forsaken me." He was a man that had traveled with Paul, been a helper, a fellow worker, laborer, but yet Paul was disappointed by Demas. We find he was disappointed by Mark. So Mark let him down, if you will. Those things happened. Demas forsook Paul because the Bible said he loved the world more than he did the love of the Lord, okay? John Mark disappointed Paul, I think maybe more than anything else. He really wasn't quite ready to step out and step out for God. He really hadn't got to that point yet. Later on, he did, and he was an encouragement. But at one point in his life, he disappointed Paul. People will disappoint you, all right? People, maybe you put your confidence in, and you'll get let down. And you'll say, well, I never thought that had happened. I never thought that person would do that. But people will disappoint you. Now, the reason people disappoint you is because they're just like you are. They're human. Amen. All right? They're human. And now I want you to notice, Paul didn't quit on people because people disappointed him. You know, I tell you, some people get disappointed and they just kind of shut down. I'm glad Paul didn't do that. He didn't get disappointed and then say, well, I'm done. He stayed after it, all right? So people will disappoint you. But not only that, I want to say it this way. Stuff will disappoint you. Things disappoint you. Think about it. You buy stuff. You buy things. You get things. And then you aren't happy with it. I was thinking about things like this afternoon. I thought, you know, that fishing rod, it breaks. It lets you down, disappoints you. You thought, sure, you were going to land that big one on that fishing pole, but it broke. That fantastic bait, you buy it, and you find out, hey, I didn't fill the boat with fish just off of that bait. Like it said, you know, they advertise it like no fish can resist it. Doesn't work that way. The golf club lets you down, disappointed, because you find out it won't hit straight. I've got a bag full of golf clubs like that. They just won't hit straight, all right? Hey, maybe it's that new pot you've got. You were counting on it, and boy, the first thing happens, you burn food in it. Clothes, they shrink. You buy new shoes, take them home, third time you wear them, they hurt your feet. You know what I'm talking about? You get disappointed with things, right? And that's such a big deal today because people today put so much emphasis on things. And yet things will disappoint us, all right? Not only that, experiences will disappoint you. Let me give you a biblical example. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 9, would you? 2 Kings chapter 9. An experience here that happened disappointed the one that had the experience. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we have the account of the healing of Naaman. But Naaman's the first reaction, his experience, really disappointed him. 2 Kings 5, verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, now Naaman had come and he had heard Elisha could heal him, so he'd come to Elisha to be healed of leprosy. And he gets to the house, and verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Arbana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Why? Because his experience disappointed him. He was counting on the greatest experience that he could have ever had in life. He had the worst disease you could have in that day with leprosy. And he gets word that there's a man down there, that prophet Elijah, can heal you. He goes down there and he's expecting this great ceremony. He's expecting the Benny Hinn routine, all right? He's going to come out there, you know, and he's going to strike his hand over it and bam, he'll be healed. Instead, doesn't happen that way. He goes, and all he gets is word. A messenger comes down and says, Elijah says if you'd go down there and dip 7 times in the Jordan River. That ain't what Naaman wanted. That experience disappointed him. You ever had an experience that disappoints you? You ever been to a restaurant that was highly advertised and recommended to you, and you go and you eat and you go, boy, stuff ain't all that good. You get disappointed. We get disappointed. Hey, experiences disappoint us. Maybe you took some vacation. You thought, boy, this is going to be top notch. And maybe just one thing after another went wrong, you know. Or maybe it's some concert you went to. And there was trouble with the sound and your seat was behind the pole, you know. I mean, just all things. Maybe it's a ball game and had great hopes, but whatever it was, it let you down. You were disappointed. Hey, people disappoint you. Things disappoint you. Experiences disappoint you. I'll be honest with you. I've known some folks that I believe they, if you were to ask them, they would say, God disappointed me. I was disappointed with him. You say, preacher, how could you do it? Well, I've heard people say, well, he didn't answer my prayer. Now, he did, but maybe the answer was no, all right? He answered their prayer, but the problem was God disappointed them because he didn't do what they thought God should have done. If God would have done what he should have done, I wouldn't have been disappointed. But I was disappointed in that. Hey, you say, what's all this about? Just mainly this. Expect to be disappointed. Expect to be disappointed. Be surprised when you're not, okay? Be surprised when you're not, and prepare. Prepare to be disappointed. But the question is, now, how are you going to handle it when you confront disappointment? Now, I know there's levels of disappointment, okay? If you go to some new restaurant and it's not all you thought it would be, oh, big deal. But man, if some friend lets you down, that is a big deal. So I realize there's levels. Some disappointments are worse than others. Sometimes it'll absolutely break your heart when a person disappoints you. It'll break your heart, and it can do it, you know? So the question is, how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to deal with it? Now, I want to give you some things this morning, this evening, about six, seven things that I think will help you to deal with disappointment. But let me say this to you. The time to put these into practice is right now. Don't say, okay, I'm going to file them, and when I'm disappointed, then I'm going to do it. No. You do it now, so when disappointment comes, it doesn't hurt you so much. Begin to do them now. Begin to put them into practice, all right? Don't wait till you're disappointed. Go ahead and get it going now, all right? Take your Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. First thing I want to tell you, when it comes to handling and confronting disappointment in your life, you need to remember the promises of God. You just need to remember the promise of God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God's not going to forget what you've done, all right? We have that promise from him. He's not going to forget the way you've served him and how you've lived your life, all right? He's not going to forget it. At the same time, he's promised that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, all right? So whatever experience you're going through, whatever experience you run into and you have to face, and you maybe face a great disappointment, realize you've got the promise of God. You're not by yourself. You're not by yourself. You're not on your own. You're not just out there paddling your canoe upstream with nobody to help. God's there, all right? He's promised that he'll be with you. Remember God's promise. Look, you and I need to learn to rest in the promise of God. Just take him at his word. Accept the fact that he's made some promises to us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He says here to us that, hey, I'm not going to forget about you and not going to forget your work. Everything's going to be all right. even though you're disappointed. It's going to be okay, all right? Take your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Second thing you need to do is learn to accept the plan of God. Accept the plan of God. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of people quote Romans 8:28 when it applies to somebody else. And they like to quote Romans 8:28, and it says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." People like to quote that verse when you're going through something. And they'll come to you and say, "Well, you know, hey, all things work together for good." Wait a minute, I'm not talking about you quoting it to somebody else. I'm talking about you applying it in your own life. Amen. Apply it in your own life. Look, God has a plan. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. We need to accept that plan. Just accept that plan. Now, it's not a guarantee that you'll never be disappointed. You hear some of these guys, radio, TV, preachers, that act like, well, if you'll do 1, 2, 3, you'll live healthy, happy, wealthy, ever after. That's not true. It's not true scripturally at all. The plan of God has never been that, hey, you'll never have a problem in life. Never been that way. You read the Bible. How many Bible characters can you name that never had a problem? I can't name one. The ones that live the best, we might say, they face trouble. I mentioned to the Apostle Paul, oftentimes you hear Paul referred to as the greatest Christian. He said, was he? I don't know about that. I'm not sure we ought to rank him that way. But he was a great Christian. He was a great missionary. But look at the problems he had. He was disappointed a lot of times. God never promised you, and God never said, hey, my plan for you is if you'll do everything you should, you'll never have a problem. No, you'll never be disappointed. No, doesn't say that. You and I just have to learn to accept the plan of God. All things do work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God does work that thing out, all right? Now, what you do can affect the plan of God. What you do can affect how you're affected. Now, don't say, well, that was the plan of God. No. Wasn't God's plan for you to go out and do something stupid, for you to go out and sin? That wasn't God's plan. You caused the problem, okay? And so there's things that happen in my life. I don't look at God and say, now, Lord, why'd you send me through that? No, I look and say, hey, boy, why'd you do something so stupid? You caused yourself to go through that, all right? So, but learn to accept the plan of God. You will be disappointed. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But now, these things I'm saying, these are things you're putting into practice in your life now. Why? So when disappointment comes, it won't be that big a deal. You'll just be able to keep on going on. Keep on moving ahead. Take your Bible of the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, all right? The book of Habakkuk. It's right after the book of Nahum. I know that helped, right? I know that helped a lot. But Habakkuk chapter 3, if you will. It's one of those books that are the easiest ones to overlook, all right? But I want you to see, here's another thing you need to do if you're going to be able to confront disappointment in your life. Verse 17 of Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. The Bible says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Boy, nothing like encouraging news. Amen. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Yes, sir. The Lord God is my strength, He will make my feet like hinds' feet, He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Hey, you said, what are you talking about? I'm saying to you, you're going to deal with disappointment. Just decide you're going to trust the Lord, okay? Just decide you're going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. Plain and simple. You have a doctor, I have a doctor. You go to your doctor. He gives you, here's what's wrong. Take this prescription down, get it filled. You take the prescription, you go, wad it up, throw it in the trash can. I ain't doing that. I don't trust the doctor. Well, find a doctor you do trust, okay? Wouldn't that make sense? Well, here we are, we're believers. We say, I'm a child of God. Man, just decide to trust Him. Just decide to trust Him. I'll trust Him when I'm happy. I'll trust Him when I'm satisfied. But I'm going to trust Him when I'm disappointed too. Going to trust Him. I'm not going to quit trusting God just because something happened and I got disappointed. That's not a time to throw in the towel. But yet we see people do that. See, people go through problems in life, they get disappointed. They say, well, I ain't coming back to church. I'm not going to do that. What in the world are you thinking? You know, we get this idea, well, nothing bad's ever supposed to happen. Where'd you get an idea like that? You know, some people act like if there was a God, nothing wrong, nothing bad will ever take place. Where'd you get an idea like that? That's not a biblical idea at all. It's not found in the Word of God. If it was, if that were the truth, then old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would say, okay, I'm done. I'm done. They said, here we are, we're trying to do what's right, and man, we got trouble. We got trouble. Listen, decide to trust the Lord. Decide to trust Him. When you're happy, wonderful, trust Him. When you're satisfied, great, trust Him.